few weeks ago, we talked about acting differently, believing differently, speaking differently. This morning I want to talk about speak differently. Believing differently, we talked about last week, and simply we were referring to not a different foundational shift of belief and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, but radically believing that He is alive and well and able to do all that He's promised He can do. Believing differently means a living, active, living, vibrant, alive faith. This year, as we move into the year, we want to make sure that our believing is right and aligned with Him. This morning, we want to talk about speaking differently. Anybody in this room think that you could probably use, upon occasion, to speak differently? A few honest people in the room. Seattle is building a new tunnel. And it's almost finished, what, 2 more weeks to go in terms of the traffic. But how many understand, as a function of engineering, alignment is absolutely crucial? You probably have heard the stories of planning that failed because people would start from both sides of a tunneling project and end up off-center. Or missing each other. I was reading a long story about Tacoma yesterday and last night as I was preparing, and there was a long, about 2,500 feet, I think they dug out, of an underground tunnel for the railroads to go through. And at one point, they were doing work around a bend, working from different directions. And when they were a few feet from breaking through to each other, they discovered they were 8 feet off. Alignment is absolutely crucial. Eventually, that tunnel was abandoned. There are a lot of rumors about that tunnel and toxic waste dumps. None of those things are true. But it became a boondoggle, if you will, where the railroad underground tunnel was never used. But this tunnel is going to provide a direct route on SR-99 between the stadiums and the Space Needle. Did you know that's the largest double-deck tunnel of its kind in the country? The largest one. Longest closure in the history of Seattle on the highway through that area is taking place right now. The efforts are enormous, and it's taken years of planning and tons of money to build out and tear down and then to rebuild and to align. All so crucial to make sure things line up. How many know that alignment with His Word is absolutely crucial? If we're going to line up to receive the blessing of God and His presence in our life, we need to line up with God's Word. You love your Bible? Pick up your Bible. If you've got a Bible with you, hold it close. If you don't, pick up your tablet or your phone or whatever you have. If you don't have any of those things, then you can pick one up from the back room and hold on to your Bible, read your Bible, devour your Bible. We talked all about it last week. Hold it close and let the Spirit of God guide us, because this is how we get in right alignment. This is how we're going to learn even further to speak differently. And you know, once we get in alignment, we're going to take Him to the world. And we're going to march Him out and fly Him out to people that need revival. Go ahead, Pat. Let's go on to the next one. So we want to fully align with His purposes. We don't want to stand off to the outside. We don't want to have one foot in Him, one foot in the world. We want to surrender fully to Jesus. If you're here this morning and you haven't fully surrendered to Jesus, He loves you so much. Yeah. This is the day for you to give your life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to give opportunity a little bit later as we close for you to come and respond to Jesus if that's what you want to do. He's commanding you. He's holding His hands out to you. He wants you in right alignment with Him. It's amazing when you get in alignment, things go right. Ever had, what other kinds of things? Let me just ask you, what other kinds of things can get out of alignment?
The wheels on your car.
The wheels of your car. What happens when that happens? Tires what? Yeah, tires will wear out. Her dad owns Brinks Auto and Rental Cars in down Centralia, Chehalis. And you grew up knowing if it was out of alignment, you could tell on those tires. Have you ever had a tire that was out of alignment and didn't run right down the road? And, you know, oh my goodness. You ever had, anybody, this is the old days, anybody ever have a tire that was out of round? You know, a bump, 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 bump. It didn't work right. What other kind of things?
Attitude.
What is it?
Attitude.
Attitude. That'll affect things, you bet. You can tell what she wrestled with last night. Oh, man, we had technology going very awry last night, but everything's got to line up and work right. Yeah, Pat?
Satellite dish.
Yeah, right. You ever have your favorite show coming on and all of a sudden things are on the blink and, yeah, frustrating. Yeah, definitely a first world issue, but nevertheless, yeah.
Bob. My wife.
There you go. That's, you know, that's really true, isn't it? And don't we all face that? We all look so holy sitting here this morning, but there are times when we're not in alignment. And when we're not in alignment, how does it go, church?
Not well.
And that's when you thank God for grace and mercy and you, love covers a multitude of sins. But when we're aligned, things are right. That's when we can hear His voice and follow His prompts. Follow the Spirit of God and listen to Him. Obey Him. Let's align our words this morning. Align your words. The Scripture talks about... by the way, let me just jump in. I'm interrupting me. You ever said anything you wish you hadn't? The groan through the room tells me you've been right there with me. Man, where the words come out of your mouth and you wish there was a line, attach them and reel them back in. You see the impact in people's lives. You know, James tells us the hardest member of our body, our life, our faith to get a control on is our tongue. And it can spew out a poison. And once things are out, oh gosh, I remember in Reno, Nevada, I got myself really big for a while. I've lost half of that weight that was too much and I need to... I lost a bunch of weight. Then I gained half of it back. So when I was younger, I could actually do sports pretty well. I was a basketball guy. I lived in 28 places. I was baseball too, but I lived in 28 places before I was 18. And so I was always the new kid. So I never got put on the first string. And as you can imagine, I'm kind of a feisty guy. And so I was in seventh grade and I went in and I knew I could play better than a couple of those people. And the coach finally put me in and took me out 30 seconds later. And all I remember is being in the locker room afterwards. And, you know, I was a seventh grader, big shot. I was stupid is what I was, but I was throwing my tennis shoes off and my jersey off, throwing them into the locker, and I didn't care who was standing close by. I said, 30 seconds, 30 lousy seconds, that's all he gave me. And it was silent all around. I kept going on and on. Finally, I quit. The guy next to me said, by the way, the coach was standing right behind you. Guess what? I didn't play even 30 seconds the rest of that season. You ever said anything you wish you hadn't have said? Alignment of our words. But James tells us, and by the way, let me put this in context before you get to James chapter 3. James is very burdened about wisdom and the wisdom of teachers because there were a lot of young converts, young believers who had given their life to the Lord, but everybody in Israel wanted to be a teacher. A teacher was considered someone of great respect, and many of the teachers had risen up, and they were drawing people after themselves. They just wanted to get a big, what was in that day, a big paycheck at that time, and they wanted to draw people and get power, and it was all birthed in arrogance. And so you see James through chapter 3 really wrestling with the true versus the false, and teachers are held to a higher responsibility to live this that they're teaching. And he says you look for the fruit in the life. Look for the real fruit in the life. And I've got James 3, 9 through 11 as a reference. I don't go there just yet, but it's in the reference. In fact, I'll read it if you just want to listen to the word. With it, with our tongue, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. We're made in the what? The image of God is what that's saying. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, James says, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Ouch! Have you ever done that? I've done that. That's not good. Matthew 12, 33 through 36, I've got for you up there. A tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers. Jesus, you know, by the way, Jesus isn't just this mamby-pamby little wispy teacher that people like to, in fact, people that aren't normally saved think he is. He's just peace, love, and no problem. No, Jesus was a tough guy. When he stood up to deal, he was tough with those who were religious but wrong in teaching and leading people in error. He was of course, loving and showed God in every way, but this was him being upset at the phonies. He said, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of, please read it with me, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure speaks forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. Okay, there's your come to Jesus moment right now. We don't need to go any further. Yikes! Thank God for grace. Thank God we get to come to Him and say, Lord, forgive me. Wash me clean through the blood of Jesus. But what does come out of our mouth? Our complaints? You know, if we go to God with our complaints, He can handle them. You read the Psalms and the imprecatory Psalms of David as he, man, get those enemies! Blah, blah, blah. But you know, God knew how to adjust His heart and spirit, because usually by the end of those Psalms, He's saying, but Lord, I praise You. You're the one in charge. I'm going to walk with You. He can handle our honesty. But if all we do with one another is bite and backbite, complain and gossip, then that is not the word of the Lord that should be coming through us. That's not the encouragement. That's bitter water, brackish water coming out of our souls rather than that good word that comes. Are we in alignment with Jesus? How are people after we've been with them? How are they doing? That leads us deeper. What's in our hearts? Number two, align your hearts. Align your words. Well, it begins with aligning our hearts. Powerfully, David did this. David's out in the field. Here's your context for this verse I'm going to give you in Psalm 19. But David's out in the field. You know, David was just a kid, maybe 15 years of age. And Samuel the prophet has been with David's dad. Who was his name? What was his name? Jesse, right? I've been doing this for 40 years. I'm sure that's it. Anyway, so Dad is with Samuel the prophet. Prophet says, you know, look, God's going to ordain a new king. Saul has forfeited his right to be king, and so we're going to anoint a new king here. And he marches in 8 other family members, and they're good and strapping kids and good looking. And on the outside, they look really good. And Samuel the prophet is ready. He goes, oh, he's the one. And God says, no, he's not the one. There's another one. And God says, no, he's not the one. And we learn through this principle or through this process, don't look on the outside of the person, but look what's on the inside. And Samuel the prophet says, haven't you got anybody else? His father forgot about David and left him out in the field. How do you think that would make you feel?
Yeah.
Nevertheless, he comes in and the prophet anoints him with oil. He receives the word of the Lord that you are going to be king. He receives the anointing. By the way, let it live, you guys. What kind of real situation do you think that produced between he and his brothers? How do you think they felt toward their little strapping little snot-nosed brother?
Jealousy.
I mean, we find out jealousy occurred because when David goes to the battlefield later, when the Philistines are going to army with Israel and Goliath was leading that Philistine army, when David comes in and he hears what the Philistine says, challenging God, and David rises up, he goes, who is this Philistine to stand up against the armies of the living God? And boy, his brothers just rip him into pieces because they're jealous and they say, who are you, pal? So this anointing has come over David, is your context, and he's out in the fields taking care of the sheep. Who knows what was going on in his heart? But later in the Bible, we see that God spoke of David. This was the man after my own heart. The man after God's heart. You know what happened? What happened is David, first of all, poured his heart out to God and demonstrated what was in his heart, so then his calling could be released in his life as he was in alignment with God. Psalm 19, there's your context, verses 12 through 14. Who can understand his errors? Now, I'm going to give you the Hebrew meaning of some of these words. It's not up there, but just listen. Who can understand his errors? That means, who can understand his moral mistakes? Cleanse me from secret faults. And the word secret is literally things I've hidden and covered. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. And that literally means in the Hebrew, arrogant. Keep me, Lord, from being arrogant. When I think I can do what I want, contrary to your word, that's arrogant against God. Let them not have dominion. Let those sins not have dominion over me. Let them not rule me. Let them not govern over me. Then I will be blameless. And I shall be innocent of great transgressions. That means I will be blameless in revolt. I will not have a heart that revolts against God. My heart is his, and I will be tender before him when I've allowed him to convict me, change me, deal with me for any secret things inside. And then he says these words that we've used the world over that are absolutely beautiful, that shows you exactly what's in David's heart as he's getting ready to not know when and how it was possibly going to unfold for him to be the king. He bows before God as he's out in the field taking care of sheep, and he says, "Oh God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable," literally in the Hebrew, "let those things I'm thinking of and my attitudes of heart be delightful in your sight, O Lord, my strength, my rock, and my redeemer. You're my redeemer kinsman, my next of kin." So David set his heart, his affections, his purpose, and his lifelong passion on God. Come on, church. Isn't that what you've done? Isn't that why you're here this morning? You set your life, your affections, your purpose, your lifelong passion on God. Lord, I want you, no matter how hard it gets, no matter what happens, when I don't understand and when life's confusing, because it is confusing sometimes. Yes. Lord, I don't get it, but I know you've got me. Yes. Some of us have been roads where we've lost people absolutely beautiful and precious to us, and you don't know the why. And all you can do is say, "God, I am not going to get bitter. I'm not going to turn aside. Lord, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We will go on. I will go on. Lord, I know you've got me." Amen. Even when I don't feel it. He aligned his heart. He knew only God could uncover and set him free, even from things hidden out of sight. No matter how tough, no matter how bumpy the ride, fasten yourself on the word of God. Say that with me. I will and choose to fasten myself to God. This is the same David a little bit later in Psalm 57, verse 7 says, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." One of my favorite life verses right there. Oh God, whether I blow it or life happens, oh God, my heart is fixed. And this same David later praised God with his passionate praises. "I love the Lord," Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2, "because he heard my voice. He's inclined his ear to me, and therefore I'll call upon him as long as I live." So David aligned his words. He aligned his heart. Number three, align your treasure. Align your treasure. Matthew 6, verse 21. Would you read it out loud with me, please? You were there, Pat. Very good. Thank you. No problem. "For where your treasure," your deposit, your wealth, is what the Hebrew means, "is, there your heart, your thoughts, feelings, mind will be also." Without the explanations in there, "for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You want to know what's in a person's heart? Spend 10 minutes talking to them. Find out what they invest their money in. Latest boat, the new house. There's nothing wrong with any of that. Nothing wrong. But spend enough time and listen for the passion of their soul. Where are they focused? What's really capturing their money? You know, we learned a long time ago. We've been doing this a long time, haven't we, honey? We found a long time ago, tragically, sadly, I've mentioned this before, but it's a true statement. The people that get the most critical of a church are the people who don't give and don't serve. Amen. Now listen carefully to me. I'm not being harsh, I'm just being real. Because there is no investment there. It is easy to sit back and take pot shots at a place that's not your family. Now look, you know, come on, let's put in the dipstick here. Let's get real. Can we get real? Now, some of us have dysfunctional families. Some of us, you know, you get together with your family member, it might not always go just the way you want. But the moment somebody else attacks your family, that's my family. I might not like them, but you don't get to. And that's because they're our family. That's why backbiting and gossip is such a horrendous, wicked sin that tears and divides. You don't have that option as a believer. The Bible says you go one-on-one. If you've got a problem with me, I get that. I'm not a perfect man. You know that. So come and see me. 99% of the problems that we have in relationship are miscommunication issues. I didn't say, or I did say, or I didn't do, or I did do. So we hang in there together. But the criticism comes when there's no investment there. We've told people in counseling over the years, if there's a relational difficulty, and you, guys, you all know, we all know, we can't control the other person. And we can pray and our hearts break when things don't work. But as much as is in my power, says the person who wants to see it healed, let me do what I can. And we've helped people who have come and said, we just kind of fell out of love. Well, fall back in. Yeah. How do you do that? You know, you tell your feelings where they're going to go. Now, you guys, it's not always this easy, okay? Don't hear me wrong. But there was a book back in 1973. Were you all born then? Back in 1973, there was a book written in Logos Publishing, Do Yourself a Favor, Love Your Wife. And it was all about people that would say we fell out of love and guys needing to initiate back toward their wives with a prayer, a touch, a statement, look for something that's positive and a little gift or something. And they would find that as they began to reinvest, there was feelings that would begin to respond. Again, don't hear me wrong. It's not always super simple. But there are some things we can definitely do to guide and guard our heart. Amen? Amen. Are you with me? Y'all preaching? Y'all breathing?
Yeah.
Preach to each other. Say to each other, say, oh, it's really good. It's really good. Align your treasure. Tangibly, you go, he's going to talk about giving. Yep, we're going to pass the plates now. No, we're not. We never pass a plate here. But look at your own heart and giving. It's an expression of your own heart of faith and health. You give as an act of worship. And when you say, Lord, you're so important to me, you have the first that I return to you. Look, you know, can I ask you something? I'm doing it anyway. How much does God own?
Everything.
No, no, no. I said, come on, really. How much does God own?
Everything.
You sure?
Yeah.
So when he asks us to return back to him from what we have, then, he, you know, 10%? So you still got 90%. Still far more than the vast majority of the world's population. So all I'm saying very gently is, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So, Lord, you own my heart, and it shows up by what I do. So we've got our words. We've got our what? Y'all with me? Y'all remember? You got your words, you got your heart, and you've got your treasure. Now I'm going to talk about a line, your confession. Give me a few minutes more as we close out this morning, and we'll close at least in time to get you somewhere this afternoon. Align your confession. It's vital what we confess. We need to know and confess, therefore, what Jesus says, what his word says. Mary said in Luke 1, verse 37, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." How much does that leave over?
Nothing.
Nothing. With God, nothing shall be impossible. What you believe, seriously, what you believe leads to what you do. What you believe determines how you live. Do you believe this is God's word or not? Is it true for you or not? Romans 3, verses 3 and 4. "For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not," Paul says. "Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar." Compared to God, we don't match up. He is never a liar. His word is always true. Come on, say it with me. His word is always true. Well, wait a minute, Pastor Kev. That doesn't make sense to me. It not making sense to me is understandable, but it doesn't mean his word is not true. His word is true. And what you put in is what will come out. Faith, trust, hope, love for Jesus, the Word of God, the Bible. Are you studying? Are you reading? Are you devouring His Word? Confess His Word. If you put in, I can guarantee you, if you put in the latest TV shows, if you put in the latest movies, they're not all bad. I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. You put in the latest book you buy at the grocery store, the latest magazines or whatever. If you put that in and never put the word in, what you're going to get out is going to be as confusing as what went in.
Right.
Are you with me, church? So we welcome and invite you into reading the Bible every day. Be a Bible reading people. We who say we believe need to prove that by finding our treasure in the Word of God. There's a quote here from Stephen Olivito, who was here with us last week. Stephen and Tiffany, he sent this to me. "Happy is the man who possesses the Bible. Happier still is he who reads it. Happiest of all is he who reads it and obeys it." Longtime Bible teacher, Brother Ryle, said that. I thought that was a powerful statement for him. Listen, it doesn't mean all of our circumstances go well. It means you know God is with you based on His Word, even when they don't. Confess His Word. Say that with me. Confess His Word. All right. All right, Pastor Kev, I'm hearing you. How do we then stay in alignment? How do we get in? How do we stay in alignment? I'm going to give you some real simple points. Number one, check up. Do a checkup. Determine to remain in the Word, that you'll be in the house of God, devouring His Word and growing and learning. More important than your natural doctor's appointments. Some of us, we come and find ourselves as days add up in our lives, there seem to be an increasing number of appointments that take place, and they're important to us. Aren't they? They're important. My voice is still changing. They're important. But they are. They're important. But even more important is being in His Word, being with His people, being in His presence. How many are glad you came to church this morning? I am. I'm glad I had the opportunity to come and worship Jesus with you. When two or more are gathered, He's right here, right in our midst. So check up. Number two, check in. Check in. Follow through. Be consistent with the other believers. Don't miss, unless you have to. but be encouraging one another. Hey, we're going to church this morning. Hey, good to see you, man. Wonder what we're going to hear about today. Hey, man, wonder what God's going to do today. You know, that's a lot different than getting up and saying, oh, man, I don't really want to go. Nice to see you, but I didn't want to come this morning, did you?
Yes, I did.
And Bob looks at me and he goes, yeah, but you got it. You're the pastor. Now you look at each other, and isn't it better to live a vibrant life where we say, oh, man, good to see you guys this morning. High five on the way in and high five on the way out and go, wow, man, we learned, we grew, we saw Jesus, we heard from him. I feel better already. I feel good. But, you know, I mean, being in his presence changes us.
Yes.
See that sign right over there? When you go then, you understand you're now entering your mission field and you see people that don't know the Lord and they say, man, you look radiant. How come? Don't say it's because I had a nice vanilla milkshake. Say it's because of Jesus. And share him with others. Check up. Check in. Get water baptized. Get baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you haven't begun launching your faith, get launching your faith and make sure your foundations are strong and grow. Check in and make sure those things are happening. Number three, check out. Check up, check in, check out. Check out on Sunday morning with a clean bill of spiritual health. Yeah. Knowing that you're right with God. Praying with the family of God. And make sure things are right if they aren't. Every day, make sure that as you end that day, you get up in the morning and you hit your knees if you can. And you pray, Lord, I give you this day. And at the end of the day, you kneel down and say, God, thanks for all that you've done today. And I don't get what you're doing, but Lord, I still believe you're in charge. Watch over us this night. I pray every night for us that God will watch over every square inch of our home, our life, our properties, even our little dog. But I pray and thanks that he's with us. And I don't always know all that happens or why. Number four, confess what he's done. Check up, check in, check out, confess. Confess what he's done for you. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I'm strengthened in the name of Jesus. Hey, I was forgiven by the blood of Jesus and washed clean by his blood. And I'm his son, I'm his daughter. And let that word of God come out of your heart. I can confess what he's done because he is good. And thank God his mercies are renewed every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. I want to urge you, do not destroy your own walk with Jesus and your victory by bitter words that'll destroy your own faith. You know, the reality is we all have this voice going on inside of us, and it's our self-talk. How's your self-talk today? Pastor Sherry will overhear my self-talk quite often. You dork, how could you have done that? And she stopped me several times. You should not say that. Stop saying that about yourself.
Amen.
You know, come on, isn't it easy to do? But wait a minute, Kev. If you're aligned with the Word of God, I'm redeemed. I might have made a mistake. I blew it. Okay, I made an error. I sinned. He's my forgiving Lord. And I can confess what he's done. You see, we can destroy our own victory. But watch this. This is powerful. David encouraged himself of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, was a time that the Philistines had come in, stolen David's family and all the families and all the belongings. They came back to their home and all were gone and missing. And the people were so bitter, they spoke of stoning David. Now listen carefully. Bitter people say bitter things. Let me say that differently. Hurting people say hurting things. We get to cover each other in love when we're like that, right? Right? We do sometimes. But the reality is we cover one another in love. But what happened here is everybody turned on David. And the Bible tells us David encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself. And that literally in the Hebrew means he fastened up. He seized up. He rose up and he said, God is still God and I will have victory. I'm cleaned by His blood. I'm renewed. I'm His son. And He's got me in the palm of His hands. And though I don't know what He's doing, I'm written right in there. God, You're good and I believe You. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Psalm 116 verse 10 is quoted by Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13. These words, I believed, therefore I spoke. Would you please say that with me? I believed, therefore I spoke. So let me encourage you. Speak faith. Speak healing. Speak encouragement to yourself, to others. What you confess is crucial, isn't it, Jerry? Jerry walks around with these little books in his hands and he gives them out to people who need to be reminded of believing God and His encouragement. So what are we going to do, really, with all of this? What are we going to do? We're going to speak differently this year. We're going to speak words of faith and encouragement. Now, some of you in this room, musicians, will you come? Some of you in this room have discouraging times in your life right now. The Lord wants to minister to you today. Possibly some of you have not given your life to the Lord. Jesus loves you and wants you to have new life today. Some of you might need healing. Some of you might need God's encouragement. Would you stand with me, please? And if that describes you, if you have a need from God or for the Lord to touch you, come on down front. Father, we pray for Your people in this room. Just reach out and take one another's hands. If you don't know each other, don't feel comfortable. You don't have to do that. But in general, just reach out across the room. Take each other's hands. Lord, we thank You that we get to be a people who believe You. And we are Your people. We believe Your word, and it shall be to us even as You've spoken. We believe the report of the Lord. And we're going to confess that. Right now, if you have a physical affliction, say with me, Lord Jesus, I receive healing power right now. Lord Jesus, I receive Your healing in the name of Jesus. And we give You the praise. Without making a big deal about it, you step out. Sometimes you know in part and you step out. I believe I saw a picture of a lady who you had kind of a print dress on. I don't know if it's flowers. I don't know who it is. But you caught yourself with your shoulder or the back shoulder blade on a nail or something that was protruding. And it gave you a bit of an injury and tore that dress. And the Lord wants to touch you and heal you. If that describes you this morning, could you just raise your hand high? All right. Father, we thank You that You are the God who is in charge. We thank You for Your people this morning who have come in faith and met with You in faith. Now we send each person out with the joy of the Lord as their strength. Raise your hands, church, even together if you still have them. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. We thank You for it, Lord. Bless each one who is gathered here this day and send them out with joy in Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Be released in the joy of the Lord. God bless you.